All right, welcome back to our podcast. I'm the gentleman accompanied by the disturbed Southern Belle.
Hello.
So in this episode, we'll be covering Rome, and I guess this will actually conclude the series of ones that I really wanted to cover, although my next episode will be Egyptian mythology, and then, I don't know, I invite any of y'all to suggest any mythologies or any histories that you want me to cover. So this episode will actually be a little bit different than what I usually do, because I'll be focusing more on the history of Rome rather than the mythologies. Largely because the Romans didn't really focus on their mythologies as much as they did conquering and documenting their real history and stuff. Also because a lot of their gods are kind of shared with the Greek gods. They're just called different things, which will be brought up later on in my second story. Anyways, getting into the actual story, our first story starts in the city of Albion, where the king, whose name was Numitor, was getting or had been overthrown by Romulus the Usurper, who in some stories is said to have been Numitor's brother.
Okay, so this guy's name is Usurper.
His title.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying, because if that's what his family named him or his mother, then what else did they expect him to do?
No, his name is Romulus. I have no idea what his
Oh, so they just
family
gave him
name
that
is.
title afterwards. Well, I guess that makes more sense.
Yeah. Actually, in some stories, he's not even called the Usurper. I think the Usurper is just a title he got after that event.
Well, that does make sense.
Yeah. Killed his own brother, supposedly.
Right, and that was common back
Actually,
then.
no, he didn't kill him. He just exiled him, pretty much.
Right. It was pretty common, though, for people to have those kind of titles doing with what they did in life and things like that. That was not something that was unusual by any stretch.
No, it's actually a fairly good example of this would be Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It's a Greek base, but actually the entire Assassin's Creed series has Roman references because Juno and all them.
Right.
In Odyssey, your character is Alexios or Alexandra, the eagle bearer, because you carry an eagle with you.
Right.
So the titles are just given by your exploits or something that defines you,
Exactly.
something to make you recognizable.
Right.
Back to the story at hand. After the king had been dethroned, his daughter, whose name was Rhea Silvia, which is actually going to come into play later on, she was made to join a group of priestesses called the Vestal Virgins, whose job was to guard the goddess Vestal's sacred penis.
Oh, was this like some kind of stone statue or?
Nope. It was actually a kind of temple, and it was where they essentially just stored Vesta's artifacts, pretty much. I've heard it referred to as a storeroom, actually, now that I think about it. Anyways, among the relics, they stowed the Palladium, which was a statue of Pallas Athena, which was Athena from the Greek mythology or Greek pantheon, who is known as Juno among the Roman pantheon. Statue had been brought over from Troy, which would explain why it was a statue of Athena rather than a statue of Juno. Also, among the relics was a giant wooden phallus, which was also used for fertility rites.
I don't know if I really want to know exactly how they were using that for a fertility rite. That does not
Nor do I.
sound like something that's appealing, but I guess, I mean, it was probably common back then for them to use all kinds of weird things like that.
They probably prayed to it or something.
Probably. Let's hope they weren't actually using it.
Hopefully not. Something tells me that would not end too well for a lot of people.
No.
Anyways, back on topic, these priestesses were actually supposed to remain virgins and all that. And the reason why the usurper decided to send the king's daughter to them was because he wanted to prevent any future children in that bloodline, because they would be seen as the rightful heirs. However, apparently the gods decided, no, we're gonna have this woman killed. And Ares impregnated her.
Okay.
I say Ares, but it was Mars.
Right.
The same person, technically.
All righty then.
Which, yeah, that was the punishment for Vestal virgins who broke their vows.
Oh,
Death.
hey, well.
Although I guess apparently nobody had noticed that this girl was pregnant at all at any point during the pregnancy, because she managed to carry them full term and, yeah, gave birth, and that was when they found out.
Okay.
And
So
she
she.
wasn't like fat or anything
All right.
at all.
So she just never showed, or they just never paid any attention to her, or what?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm assuming they just didn't notice somehow.
Maybe.
But yeah, they didn't even really put her to death either. Which this is something I don't agree with here, because they would have definitely. If this had actually happened, they would have definitely put her to death for this.
Yeah.
Because, well, she broke her vows, and I already said that was very much against the law, pretty much.
Yeah.
Also, she was carrying twins. And once again, I say, they did not notice until she gave birth that she was pregnant.
Well, she was supposed to be pregnant by Mars, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why. Maybe because he's a god or something. Maybe
Oh,
that would be
maybe.
it. I don't. Some kind of magic special pregnancy that no one else has ever experienced.
Well, actually, plenty of them have. Remember, because Zeus and all them are technically the same gods.
Right.
They're just known as something else for the Romans.
Exactly.
Although I have a personal theory as to why they didn't put Rhea Silvia to death. It's because it was or she was Romulus's niece.
That might be it too, then. That's true.
Again, supposedly, according to some of the stories, she would be his niece. But yeah, she would eventually give birth to the twins and name them Romulus and Remus. However, upon seeing the two children, Romulus had immediately ordered their death, and he also ordered the immediate imprisonment of Rhea Silvia.
So no baby gift for her then.
Nope.
That sucks.
Yeah. Then again, sucks even worse for the two children.
Right. Well, true.
Romulus had actually ordered them to be thrown in the Tiber River.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What actually happened was they were placed in a basket and just sent to float down the river to their doom.
Well, that sounds like the story of Moses,
Yeah,
ironically enough.
it does.
So that's kind of funny too, the little tie into that. It is kind of weird how some of the different stories sort of intersect in different ways like that.
It is. A lot of religions are very much similar in
But of
some of their
course, then
stories.
again, that could have been something that they did back then more often than you
It was.
realize. So it wouldn't be uncommon then for that to happen to two different people in history, you know,
Actually, this one even, or this
or
wasn't even that long
mythology.
after, like, this was like double digits AD.
Right. But you get what I'm saying. I mean, it wouldn't be, you know, crazy to think about it happening like that if you think about it from that perspective.
Actually, this was their version of an abortion, pretty much.
I guess.
This is what it was. If they had children they didn't want, they would either throw them off of cliffs or they would send them floating down
Or
rivers.
you could be like the Spartans, just take them out and leave them to die.
Yeah, that
If
is also a
they were too
possibility.
small or looked malformed, or they didn't think they were going to basically serve society like they should, then they would just take them and just leave them out for the elements, the animals, whatever. They didn't, I mean, I couldn't imagine doing that. I don't understand why that, why, if you think about it, why make a child suffer? I mean, I know it sounds bad, but wouldn't it be better just to kill
Kill it.
it, you know,
Yeah.
just than to make it suffer and then die anyway? I mean, I don't know. That just seems like a level of an extra level of cruelty that didn't need to be there. Which I'm not saying, you know,
The
advocating
Spartans
killing
were
the child.
assholes.
Well, they were. I'm not saying, you know, I'm advocating killing children, of course, but I'm saying if they were going to do that anyway, I don't know. I mean, it just seems to me like it would be more humane just to smother it or kill it or something, and then I don't know. I don't know. I'm getting off on a rant.
Anyways, yeah, so they were sent to float down the river. Their mother was in prison, and the gods didn't like this, which I wonder why. It's not like they were the son of or the sons of the god of
Yeah,
war.
I was about to ask, was Mara's okay with all this? I mean, these are his kids. Does he not care?
Actually, one thing, I think the gods, like the Greek gods, were forbidden from directly interfering in mortal affairs.
Right.
I think that was like their big thing. That was not allowed.
Oh, okay.
They could influence stuff, which would explain a lot.
Yeah.
Especially a story later on. Second story, actually. Anyways, Mars was not happy with this line of events. So he kind of adjusted things to where the basket would wash up on shore.
Right.
And there was a she-wolf right there.
Well, of course. What else would there be there?
And what do you think the she-wolf did immediately?
Well, I'm sure she attacked them, killed them.
She nursed them.
Oh, my goodness. Leah.
Like, she actually nursed the two children and brought them to, like, some tree. I think it was a fir tree or something. I don't remember exactly.
That don't just matter.
No. Eventually, a shepherd found them.
No. Now, this is bringing some Jungle Book vibes in now with the wolf raises. Well, she only raised Mowgli, so. This one's taken in, too.
It was a fig tree.
Oh,
I'm looking at the script now. It was a fig tree. But, yeah. Then a shepherd by the name of Faustulus, whatever.
Mm.
German name, it sounds like to me. I don't know. Because of Faust and...
Right.
Anyways, a shepherd by the name of Faustulus found them and took care of them as if he was their father.
Oh, okay. How old were they? Were they still babies?
They were still infants.
Oh, okay.
Like
okay.
Newborns, pretty
right.
much.
So he found them pretty quickly after the wolf found them then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It had just been like hours or days.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, he started acting as their father. And so Romulus and Remus were raised by the shepherd and his wife, who had no kids. So this was kind of something that he'd been wanting anyway. He wanted kids.
That's kind of good then. I guess it kind of worked out that way then.
Yeah, it did, which was very good. Very kind people. The kind of people you'd want to raise your children, so
right.
to speak, if you couldn't. And so he actually raised them to be strong, capable men, strong warriors.
Right.
And they made their living pretty much, aside from the father being the shepherd, they were bandits.
Okay. That's kind of a twist.
Yeah, not really that expected.
No, definitely. I thought you were going to say something like, I don't know, anything.
I mean, they were also hunters, but they made their biggest amount of money by just robbing travelers who happened to be passing their land.
Well, I imagine so.
Which, to be fair, like, I mean, it was a little ways out of the way.
I guess if we robbed everybody that came up down the road in front of our house, we could probably make a pretty good living, too.
Well, a lot of people go down this road.
You know.
I mean, hell, it's pretty much a highway.
Right. So, but I think we'll lay off on that.
Actually, this ended up not going too well for Remus. He had been captured by soldiers.
Oh.
And soldiers of Alba Longa.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun.
By this point in time, they were late teens, maybe early 20s.
Okay. So young adult.
Young adults. And you can imagine how Romulus felt about all this. Upon actually hearing this, he immediately wanted to storm the castle, so to speak. Yeah, he wanted to storm Alba Longa.
By himself?
Hey, that was his plan.
Okay. Well, it's either ride or die.
Eventually, before he did that, Faustulus actually told him of his heritage, who he was, of his royal blood. I don't know how Faustulus knew all this.
Well, that... Maybe they left a note or something or some. Well, no, he didn't find the basket, though, did he? He just found them.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the way they were dressed. Maybe there was something.
I'm assuming, like, very newborns, they would have been naked.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they had some kind of cloth around them with some kind of, like, emblem or pin or something.
But why would the soldiers even bother with that if they were sending them off to their death?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, maybe somebody put something in there.
My going theory is that Faustulus had a dream of the gods or
maybe.
something.
He could have been sent a message, too.
Yeah, that might have been how he found them, too.
Possibly.
But anyways, so Romulus, upon knowing this, had somehow managed to find his grandfather, the true king of Alba Longa.
Right.
Who had been exiled, like I said.
Right.
And so, the king, Numitor, actually gave Romulus some loyalists. The people who left the capital with Numitor.
Right.
Because they didn't want to serve under Romulus.
Right.
And so, with this small group of people, they wiped the place out.
Okay, well.
They just stormed Alba Longa and took it, very much by force, killing Romulus in the process.
Righty.
However, not wanting the title of King, Romulus, after freeing his brother, allowed his grandfather to resume place as king.
Well, I guess that is only fair.
Yeah. So now Numitor is back in the place of power, and I don't know about his daughter, about Rhea. No idea.
They never mention her again?
Not in the stories I've read.
Kind of weird, yeah.
And I read like 4 different stories
in
for this.
In prison, do you think they would want to free her? You would think. I mean, because she didn't do anything wrong.
I mean, she broke her vow.
She broke that vow, but you get what I mean. I mean, she didn't like shun them or something like that, or, you know, want them to be killed or something.
No, but according to their law, she was supposed to be put to death. Right. I'm assuming she was at some point during all this.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened in the background, and they just assume you know.
Yeah, I don't know why. Most people probably wouldn't even know what the priestesses did, or what they were, let alone the vows.
No.
I only knew it because I knew what they were beforehand.
Right.
None of the stories I've read elaborated on it.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the story at hand. After Romulus gave the title back to Numitor, or gave the crown back to Numitor, he and his brother just set off with a small group of men planning to settle their own town. And they wanted to do this around the spot where the she-wolf had originally saved them. So kind of wholesome, I guess.
Right.
However, there was a slight disagreement on where the brothers thought that the city should be founded. Remus wanted it to be near the city of Remora, or wanted to name the city Remora, and set it up near the Aventine Hill. But Romulus wanted to establish a city named Rome and set it up near the Palatine Hill.
Oh, huh.
I guess we kind of know where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
The brothers split up.
Oh my god.
They split up and divided the men. The men just decided who they wanted to go with. And they both set up their own places.
Right.
However, there was another small dispute after the cities had been built, or after the small settlements had been built, and Romulus was setting up the boundary lines.
Mm-hmm.
And the dispute there should be actually fairly obvious. They each wanted more than what they could get.
Right.
Than what the other wanted to allow them to have. But in a show of, I guess, aggression, Remus overstepped the boundary line and Romulus just immediately killed him.
Well, I mean, what else can you do in that? I mean,
this was a few days after he saved his life. Saved him from the dungeons and all that.
Wait, that's in the past. This is the now. I mean, he stepped over that line. Obviously, he to do something.
In all seriousness, though, what the hell?
It is pretty ridiculous. Jesus.
Why? What was the point of this?
No, I have no idea. That is insane. I mean, it's his brother. I'm assuming, like, they're his twin brother.
Yeah.
And oh my god, you know, no, that's insane.
Literally, he was willing to storm a city.
Right.
Like a major city at the time.
Exactly.
To save his life.
Right.
And now he just kills him because he overstepped a boundary line.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I really, that doesn't make any sense. That just sounds more like he was more bloodthirsty or more cruel than you realize or something.
Yeah.
Something going on.
Anyways, he killed Remus and just took both settlements. And that became Rome.
Which kind of makes sense because they were kind of known for going out and conquering. So,
yeah.
There you go.
So Romulus actually reigned for 38 years after that, and the city grew, expanded, and when he died, which was of natural causes, I think he just got sick or something. He wasn't old by any means. He was like in his 40s at the time.
Right.
But they weren't really known for living long lives
anyway.
No,
definitely not.
He ascended, so to speak.
Okay.
The gods kind of raptured him and gave him godhood.
Oh.
They turned him into a god.
Well, why not? I mean, he's not done anything wrong with his life.
Nah.
What happened to the other one? He just go to hell or whatever?
I don't know. I guess he went to the afterlife.
Okay.
Just the standard afterlife. I don't remember what it was called, but yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Romulus ascended, became a god, and he was idolized and after that point, referred to as the god Corineus, a warrior god. Not the god of war, but a lesser god.
Okay, so he's, I guess, just boosts morale and things more than, or something, than like the god of war is actually over the soldiers and everything. And
he's Kratos before he defeated Ares
right.
in the god of war games.
Right.
That's what he is, essentially.
Yeah, okay.
A more powerful, but immortal mortal.
Right.
Complete contradiction there, but that's the best way I can
explain it. Why not? Immortal mortal.
All right, so that about wraps up the story of Remus and Romulus. The next story is pretty much going to be just a bit of backstory on the actual gods, who they are, what their names are, and stuff like that. They're kind of, both the gods and the stories are kind of adopted from the Greek pantheon, largely because, well, the Greek myths, the Greek society deal just kind of spread.
Right.
And it really influenced a lot of that part of the world, just that side of the world in general.
Exactly.
And they also like heavily influenced some like Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Rome is. So, yeah.
Right.
Anyways, three patron gods for the Romans were kind of like the big three for the Greeks, like the Greeks were Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades. The Romans were Jupiter, Juno, and Minerva, who were actually Zeus, Hera, and Athena, respectively. And by the Romans being the same as the Greeks, they were the exact same gods. Like, no difference at all other than their names.
Okay, that's weird.
Like, Zeus was Jupiter. Like, he was Zeus, but just he was known as Jupiter to the Romans.
Okay.
Hera was Juno, and Athena was Minerva.
Hmm. Well, that's weird.
Then there was Venus, Neptune, and Mars were Aphrodite, Poseidon, and Ares. And then there was Hermes, the messenger god. He was Mercury. Now, this was actually a change.
Right.
Mercury was actually a god of communication, commerce, and transport, rather than just being the messenger god.
So he had more power, so to speak.
He had more reign over certain aspects, right. Yeah. There was also Pluto, who was the Roman Hades, and then Vulcan, who was Hephaestus.
Right.
Which actually, Vulcan was the root volcano.
Hmm.
So that's where the word volcano comes from, which makes so much sense because Hephaestus, he was based, according to some stories, in a volcano. That's where his forge was.
Right.
Which is kind of cool.
It is.
It also makes so much sense because the volcano is the perfect place for a god forge.
Yeah.
Or for a forge god,
right.
Rather.
Sense.
Then there were the Titans, who were Uranus and Gaia, or Uranus and Gaia.
Right.
This is pretty much the exact same as in the Greek episode. The beginning was the same here.
Right.
They created Jupiter and all the everything happened pretty much the same way as it did.
Right.
Except Uranus wasn't bad for the Roman mythos.
Oh.
And actually, Jupiter, not Jupiter, but Saturn, who was Cronus, he wasn't bad either. He is just the supreme deity.
Okay.
Uranus never held that title, really.
Huh.
So Uranus and Gaia created Saturn.
Right.
And Saturn just reigned as supreme.
Hmm.
And actually, this is kind of a big one. Saturn is because kind of the winter solstice kind of revolved around Saturn.
Right.
There was this whole part of the winter solstice, which 3 days in winter, was a festival.
Right.
For Saturn and stuff to honor him. And this was huge to the Romans. So huge that Christmas was actually moved to the 22nd.
Wow.
For this.
That's crazy.
To align with this festival.
That's kind of funny. When you think about it, that's crazy.
22nd of December, but yeah.
Right. Huh. I never knew that.
That just shows how big Saturn was to these people.
Exactly.
And we also kind of owe Saturn for Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his name is the root for Saturday.
Oh, well.
And another kind of interesting thing, the Roman gods, the Roman pantheon, were actually called the Olympians.
That is weird.
They just kind of stole that.
Yeah.
Well, not really stole, I guess, because same gods and all that, for the most part. They were just kind of grouped in together with the Greek gods.
Oh, okay.
Like, there were the Celestials, the Titans, then the Olympians.
Right.
Just interesting to me.
It is.
Also, one god I forgot to mention was Apollo. Now, the thing about Apollo is, he is just Apollo. Literally the exact same through and through here.
Uh-huh.
The people of Troy worship him as the sun god, similar to the Greeks. And the Romans, just another proof of how, yeah, similar they are.
Right.
Then, it does also align with the Italian god Sol. There's also Helios, another Titan, technically, who just rides in a chariot that pulls the sun across the skies.
Right.
And none of this really mattered to a lot of Romans. They weren't really concerned about recording their stories. Like I think I pointed out earlier.
Right. They just said their picks, so to speak.
Yeah. So it's really not terribly easy to find too much on any one god.
Right.
Some stories, like actually something like probably the most popular, the most famous Greek story, Hercules.
Uh-huh.
Or Heracles.
Right.
Is the Greek pronunciation.
Right.
Hercules is Roman, where Heracles is Greek.
Oh. Huh. Well, that's weird.
Same thing through and through, except for Hercules had more adventures. Heracles had the 12 labors and all that. Hercules did too, but after the 12 labors, for example, Hercules went to the city Gaul and chased away some odd gods who were causing trouble. And as tribute to Hercules, the people in Gaul built a temple named Hercules Maniakos, which later became known as Monaco.
Huh, well, that's interesting.
One of the most famous cities there is in that part of the world.
Right.
Something that is fairly well known even here in America.
Exactly.
Because it's really a popular vacation destination, really.
It is. It is.
Then there was also the time Hercules killed Vulcan's son, Roman Hephaestus.
Right.
He killed his son, Cases, who is a fire-breathing giant.
Good grief.
He also went to Germany, and they thought he was Thor.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He went to Germany and the people confused him for Thor.
That's kind of, that is funny.
It's also weird because I wouldn't think he would look like Thor.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean,
like Hercules is supposed to be like really buff.
Right.
Thor's fat, kind of.
Yeah.
He's strong. He looks strong, right. But he's also big.
Exactly. I don't see the comparison either, but.
Let's see. And most of this stuff, most of the stories that I got are from the Aeneid, or an aid, I'm not really sure, written by a man named Virgil. Very
the
famous
Iliad?
Name. Nope, that was Greek.
Oh.
By Homer.
Okay.
Like Homer wrote the Odyssey and the Iliad.
Right. Okay. You're right.
Virgil is Roman, however, one of the most famous poets there is, right along with Homer.
Hmm.
And he actually wrote the Aeneid because he was commissioned by Caesar to write a poem of himself and his life. However, instead, Virgil wrote about the history of Rome.
Okay.
And he actually compiled many stories into the Aeneid, and it spanned like many years and over three continents.
Hmm.
Stories over or from three different continents.
Wow.
Let's see. Actually, it's supposed to be kind of a sequel, I guess, to Homer's Iliad and the Odyssey.
Oh, okay. Well,
like it takes place right after, let's see, the Trojan War.
Oh, okay.
And let's see, follows Aeneas, who was a Trojan warrior who was tasked with taking survivors of the Trojan War to find a new home. Or, according to what you believe, he just ran away.
Right.
From the Trojan War. It varies.
Right.
Between sources.
Exactly.
The Trojan survivors took a fleet of ships to look for Italy. And this is before Rome.
Right.
This is before Rome had been founded. And they kind of got stuck between a couple of warring gods.
Oh, well, good for them, I guess, right?
The god of war, Mars, and Minerva.
Huh.
Athena, pretty much. So Ares and Athena, or Mars and Minerva.
Right.
And Minerva did not want them to succeed because the way they were going, it was prophesized that they would conquer Carthage, which she liked.
Okay.
And Mars helped them through. Well, no, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it wasn't Mars, it was Neptune.
Okay.
It was Neptune and Minerva.
Okay. So Neptune and Minerva were having a fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, so they were having a fight, and Neptune helped the ships,
right,
the Trojans, by diverting a storm that Minerva sent their way.
Wow.
However, they couldn't escape it completely, and it knocked them way off course. And they ended up hitting the city of Libya.
Hmm.
And eventually, Aeneas and his people made it to Carthage, where they just lived for 6 years, and he married Queen Dido.
Okay.
This random soldier married a queen.
Wow.
They didn't conquer it, so that prophecy was complete crap.
Yeah, I'd say so. So she had no reason to even be upset to start with.
No. Actually, it was at that point that Aeneas had been completely satisfied with life. He was happy the way it was.
Right.
And then he received a message from Jupiter via Mercury, who told Aeneas that it was time for him to just move. Just time for him to continue on.
Okay. Continue on where?
Just continue on.
Like, move or, like, continue on, die, go on to the next place?
Just
continue on. I got it.
Continue on to Italy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because Carthage was on their way to Italy.
Right.
That was the reason. Which, thinking about it, Minerva helped them because she sent them off course, and they were just going to Italy at the time.
Exactly.
However, where they landed, Libya, Carthage was on their way to Italy.
Right.
Like, it was right between Libya and Italy. Right. Or their objective in Italy.
Exactly.
And so, Aeneas just kind of left without saying anything. Like, in the middle of the night, he just snuck out.
Okay.
And Queen Dido hated him, or hated this.
Hmm.
She kind of cursed his name and swore that she would not be an ally to any of his descendants.
Huh.
And, yeah, she would wage war on his descendants, saying that Carthage would always be an enemy.
Well, I guess she is not one to be scorned.
So after a short stop in Sicily on the way, where nothing happened, actually.
Okay.
Just a little bit in the script filler content, I guess. Mm. Anyways, he made it to Italy, and he apparently went to hell, or went to the underworld.
All right.
Where he learned of his fate, what he was supposed to do, and all that.
Okay.
And it was at that time where he kind of just settled the kingdom of Latium, or Latium, whatever.
Huh.
The place where Latin would become a thing.
Right.
And lived fine for a while. And then his first major act was he waged war on pretty much everyone.
Well, that's what you do, isn't it? I mean,
his goal was to marry the princess of Italy.
Well, then, what better way?
And, so, well, actually, no, just as a Latin princess.
Oh, okay.
In my notes. After a while, Tiberinus, by the way, the god of the Tiber River, and he was actually the son of Oceanus, another Greek titan.
Oh, okay.
He kind of just spoke with Aeneas and said that this was where he was supposed to be. He just kind of gave him some words of encouragement.
A little pat on the back.
Yeah, pretty much. He assured that Aeneas that this was his home and he would build up his legacy here.
Uh-huh.
And so after kind of winning the wars, I guess.
Right.
He founded, and get this, this is a roundabout way of coming back where we started, and I completely forgot how to pronounce it. Alba Longa.
Aha! The tie-in. Oh my god. Suspense is killing me.
Also, think about this, this line was unbroken. So he founded Alba Longa.
Right.
He was a ancestor of Remus and Romulus.
True. Well, that's kind of cool, too.
Yep. And so this man was essentially a, say, grandfather of Rome.
Hmm. Wow.
That was his legacy.
Well, that's a pretty cool
legacy. His descendants would eventually found one of the most well-known cities there ever was.
Right. Definitely.
Actually, probably the most well-known city
it's
there ever
definitely
was.
Definitely way up there. I mean, absolutely.
So, yeah. This line would remain unbroken until the birth of Rhea Silva. Or Silvia, whatever.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. Definitely.
And so, yeah, that's the end of this story.
All right.
All right. So, this last thing is going to be more of a history lesson than anything on mythology. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say here. As for the actual story, we've covered the beginning of the Roman Empire, pretty much. So, now let's talk about the end of it. So, first things first, Rome had been split between different emperors so many times before.
Right.
But the last time Rome was ruled by a single ruler was during the reign of Theodosius I, who ruled from the year 392 to 395 AD.
Okay.
Which, by the way, here's a fun fact. In 380 AD, he made Christianity the official state religion of Rome.
Well, that is kind of funny.
Not even a year where he ruled But yeah. Anyways, after his rule, Rome had been split into two parts, Eastern and Western Rome. In Western Rome, it had been ruled by Romulus Augustus. A couple of familiar names. Romulus being the first ruler of Rome, and Augustus being Caesar, one of the earlier rulers, I think.
Exactly.
Probably the most famous
Yeah,
one.
most likely. He's definitely one of the more well-known ones, absolutely.
But yeah, got a couple of big names to live up to.
Exactly.
He was actually deposed in 476 AD by the Germans.
The Germans? Well, that was
He was
unexpected.
11 years old.
Oh my goodness.
Yep.
Well, that was unexpected.
I
Didn't expect it to be the Germans, no.
didn't expect him to be 11 years
Well,
old.
true, that too.
Also, I feel it necessary to mention that, yeah, he was very young to be king.
I would say so.
And he ruled Western Rome.
That's crazy.
Anyways, he was the last ruler of Western because he, after that, it fell.
Yeah.
It fell hard
Oh.
after the Germans got a hold of it.
Oh, God.
It wasn't Rome after that. That was actually considered the fall of Rome, but Eastern Rome kind of went on for a while.
Right.
Although it was actually called, according to historians, American historians, the Byzantine Empire rather than the Roman Empire. However, while the Eastern Roman Empire was still under Roman rule, they just called it the Roman Empire because that's all that was left of Rome. It had actually been ruled or in an unbroken bloodline for hundreds, if not thousands, of years after that.
Wow.
Well, not after that, but since Caesar. That
Right.
thousands of years since Caesar.
Okay, gotcha.
Then actually survived a lot of things, like the rise of Islam, for one, which was fairly big. Then it. A lot of people say that the last real emperor was Alexios V, but actually the Romans would reclaim Constantinople after it had been ransacked by the Crusaders in 1261 AD.
Wow.
And some historians consider that to be restoration of the Roman Empire.
Oh.
But it all fell apart after that. I mean, it was fractured and like into three different parts. But it never recovered. It eventually just became more or less completely Greek, and then the Turks just wiped it all out.
Goodness.
Yeah, that is the true, I guess, end of the Roman Empire.
Wow. Sad end
Yeah.
of such a powerful group of people.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's it.
All right.
Short history lesson, but we covered the end, so I found it only fitting to talk about the end.
Right. Got it.
Or the beginning to talk about the end, rather. So, yeah, I do ask that you leave any requests for future stories or any religions that you want me to cover, pretty much. I know my next episode is going to be Egyptian, and that'll be the last of my planned episodes for the mythologies. And yeah, that's it for me. I guess now I'll hand it over to the Belle for her to talk about her episode.
So next week, we're going to be talking about torture and execution methods and devices through the ages. So anyone with a fetish for the Iron Maiden, you need to come on back next week so that we can fill you in on all the interesting ways that humanity has found to torture and hurt itself.
I've heard of some weird and
There's
off the wall fetishes, but for an Iron Maiden, that's just
who knows?
insane.
Who knows? But anyway, we definitely want you to come back and join us next week. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and don't forget to
Stay
stay disturbed.
disturbed.